Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
A game in which they led throughout until there were 3/10 of a second to play in game one on a Halliburton rainbow jumper, losing 111-110. They show that rebounding prowess, unbeaten following losses, that remains intact as the Thunder win game two big, 123-107 over the Indiana Pacers.
Thank you, Thunder Radio. So many impressive things about the OKC Thunder, yet I don't think this series is anywhere near over, and I think the Pacers will still leave their mark on this NBA Finals. Good morning, Perloff. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. Last night was an interesting game because the Thunder kind of fixed everything that went wrong in game one. So they didn't get killed on the glass. People other than SGA scored. Chet Holmgren played like Chet Holmgren again.
Yeah.
So what I worry about is the Thunder are like a piece of clay. Like, they're being molded throughout these playoffs and they get better, which is interesting to me. Like, you would think, oh, they're an NBA Finals team, but they've honestly improved so much just this postseason. So I think even this version of Thunder that you saw last night is going to be better by the end of the series. Therefore, I'm declaring the series over.
Oh, wow.
But no, I think OKC is actually even going to play better than they did last night as the series continues.
I would say the same exact thing about the Pacers, though. No, the Pacers are not the team that the Thunder have been all season long. They're not this historic team that has this amazing defense and, you know, just suffocating their opponent. But the Pacers haven't even played well. They didn't play well in game one, got that win. They did not play well last night. Halliburton has to start looking for his shot much earlier in the game. I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said, but he's got to start looking for his shot. He was 2-for-7 through the first three quarters of the game last night, then finally started scoring in the fourth quarter. And all these big comebacks that have been the calling card of the Indiana Pacers, for some reason, Rick Carlisle pulls everybody with like a little over, what, 5.5 minutes left to go?
Four minutes, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
Just about.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 minutes, that's when things just start getting interesting for Indiana. So I was a little surprised by that.
It was 17 points at the 4-minute mark exactly. I noted it.
Right,
that's
where they wanted them.
Pretty big comeback.
Well, but think about it, right? The Pacers, I say that sort of in jest, but not really. I mean, the Pacers have won 5 games in this postseason when they've trailed by 15 points or more. They have won 3 games this postseason when they've trailed by 7 with 3 minutes or less. I mean, this is a team that has made it their thing to play everything down to the wire. But anyway, even with last night gone, series is now tied 1-1. You're heading back to Indiana. Again, not over. Not over by a long shot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think the Thunder really kind of screwed up game one. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Indiana said to the Thunder, we're going to let SGA shoot every time and hope that the other four players become sort of disinterested and fade out of the game. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
So Mark Daigneault made some adjustments and they just upped their... See, they had 25 assists compared to 13 in game one. They started moving the ball. They still don't move the ball to my liking. Like, they're the opposite of the Golden State Warriors. They're pretty much an ISO ball team. But last night, they spread the ball around a lot. SGA obviously dribbles wherever he wants, and he was looking for guys. So I think everybody's going to start to play better other than SGA. So Chet Holmgren woke up.
Yep.
I think uh, I, I think that Jalen Williams is going to play better from here on out. He looked better in the second half last night. So I just think the Oklahoma City Thunder, we haven't even seen their A game. I understand what you're saying about the Pacers and Haliburton and Shumore. I think the Thunder are just going to get better as the series goes on, too.
When, as this now will transition to Indianapolis, do you think you're getting the same thing from Aaron Wiggins? I mean, Caruso seems like he's kind of a lock on defense, but 20 points last night, that you can't pencil that in every night.
But the thing is, there's always somebody. It doesn't, Aaron Wiggins might as well be Caruso. Like, there's eight Aaron Wiggins on that team. There's always somebody who gets hot. That's the magic of the Thunder, is they go 10 deep with guys on a given day. It's their style play, too. Yeah, definitely. They're going to find someone else to do that.
So you could weigh in at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm also curious because not everyone's really interested in like TV ratings or stuff like that. I'm not going to get too in the weeds on it, but there was a report that game one, Pearl, was one of the least watched finals games that we've had in a long, long time. I'm curious because of how the game ended, and because of social media now, a lot of people will have seen how that game ended with a Haliburton game winner. Did that make people tune in for game two? Like, is this going to just be more of a slow burn for an audience? Because I'm curious if there's people out there who did not watch game one, but then saw what happened and thought, all right, I'm going to tune in last night, and then you got an 18-point loss.
Well, Sunday night, if you can't rate on Sunday night, you're never going to rate. Look at the NFL and Sunday Night Football.
Sure.
But I think the problem is not the market size. I hear that a lot, but there's a lot of proof that big, small markets could get great ratings. I think the problem is parity. We've never seen casual fans have not seen the Thunder in the finals. They sure haven't seen the Pacers in the finals.
Sure.
So what is the familiarity?
Right.
I mean, yes, hardcore NBA heads, of course, know these teams really well. But the casual fan has never heard of SGA until this year. So I think that it's going to take time. I think by the third championship, the Thunder will rate.
Finally broken through.
I don't think the ratings are going to explode.
That's all it takes, guys. But this one and two more. Meanwhile, it's 1-1.
Adam Silver sits there and brags about the salary cap system and how it's created parity. The reality is, for basketball, I think you need superstars who people come back for. Like, you need LeBron, you need Curry, you need Jordan, you need Kobe. I just think that SGA's got to, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to do that. Otherwise, the ratings are not going to be there. I don't think it's the market size. I don't think it's the state of the NBA. I think it's like, do people really know this team?
No, it just feels like a random finals. I'll give you that. Like, there is no history between OKC and Indiana. Now, this could have been a Haliburton finals. It was trending towards that because you start putting together this, what we call in the industry, a sizzle reel of all of his game winners and heroics, and it looks like an all-time, you're watching a Gatorade commercial. It doesn't even feel like real life.
People
still could be.
It still could be.
Yeah, so, you said that in the past tense. I mean, who knows?
I know. See, this is the one thing. Well, I still think this is going to go, you know, are we going six here? Are we going seven? I don't know. But I do have to give the one thing I am so impressed by from OKC. While I say I think they're still vulnerable in the series, but one thing I do want to give them a shout out for. When the Pacers have landed these knockout blows, which has been these crazy game winners, happened again, EJ and Manny's Knicks. And what happened
being a loser.
Is it manifested, it rolled over into game two. This is, you know, three series in a row that the Pacers went up 2-0 on their opponent, winning both on the road. And I think because of the shock sometimes of them winning these games in the last second, it's almost like you don't have enough time and you haven't like fully unpacked it, if you will. Not like we're doing therapy here, but kind of like you're still shocked. And it's continued into the second game. And now all of a sudden Indiana would have been up 2-0.
Right.
Credit to OKC. Yep. They responded in a way that was like, oh, you punched us in the mouth. Let's bury your heads. And again, a lot of series left to play, in my opinion. But how they responded was better than some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference.
It's a great point. The Knicks lost two games on that shot that hit the back of the rim. That's at Expression and Sports. Right. I totally agree with that. The Thunder, to their credit. I think they're, here's the thing. I don't think that Rick Carlisle is going to coach circles around the Oklahoma City staff the way that he sort of did in the Eastern Conference. Even though he did go up against some, I think he went up against Spoelstra, Doc Rivers, and Kenny Atkinson. Yeah. So he had some good coaches, but I think that Oklahoma City's adjustments, as I said earlier, that's the key. Like, they did not fold like the Knicks did in that game too. I could have an annoying take on this too.
Okay. Annoying in a fun way or annoying in a, we're going to be annoyed kind of way.
Annoying. You won't be annoyed, but a lot of NBA fans would be annoyed. Oh. Like, I watch the Thunder. I'm like, man, if Golden State had stayed healthy and Denver was fully healthy, I don't know if this team would even be there.
Oh!
Don't do that. You've been Mr. OKC this whole season.
They're really good. They're really good. Sort of. I kind of wondered if they were a year away. Like, Golden State with a healthy Curry would have been an interesting series. And then Denver, if everybody could have stayed healthy, probably a more talented team. So anyway, I watched last night.
I hate this.
Yeah, I knew you would hate that.
The Pacers are probably... This is when Pearloff becomes Mr. Asterix.
Yeah. Pacers are probably like the ninth best team in the West or something.
Well, but this is, you can't judge the Pacers that way.
You think they're better than the Clippers?
Yes.
I don't know. Clippers got Kawhi and Harden.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You got to get rid of the whole Eastern Conference. That whole thing.
Are you insane? What are you talking about?
That narrative is trash.
I think so, too.
Wait.
The Minnesota Timberwolves got to the Western Conference Finals. Give me a break.
The Pacers have the... If they won the series, it'd be the...
stunk.
If the Pacers won the series, they'd have the least wins of any champion since the 95 Rockets. This is not a great team.
But that's because they started the year slow, Pearloff. This is 82-game season. In the calendar year, they've been the best team in the NBA besides the Thunder.
That's 30 years.
I also think that the regular season is not being treated the way that it was 30 years ago. Or even the last 10 years, the regular season is different. Guys, a team comes to town, you're not even sure you're getting your best on best. Teams have agendas. They've got to sit guys. Someone needs rest. Somebody can only play this many minutes. Somebody's tanking. It's all everything under the sun. And there were plenty of teams in the Western Conference who were outright tanking this year.
There's so many good players in the West that are not in the East. I mean, honestly, like...
But what about teams?
Well, these teams are good. Look at the play-in teams in the West. It was the Mavericks, Kings, Grizzlies, and Warriors. Ja Morant was in the play-in. The play-in in the East was the Magic, the leftover Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Bulls.
But that's a play-in. Teams aren't... None of those teams are going to win a championship.
These play-in teams are dream teams.
The Kings and the Grizzlies are not championship teams. The Mavs, they were reeling from Luka. Like, you're talking about teams that are also terrible.
Grizzlies had the same record as Indiana. You don't think they could compete in the East?
They got swept in the first round.
Yes, in the West.
Right.
The Grizzlies would do just fine in the East. They would have been a really dangerous team in the East.
Oh, my gosh.
They had the same exact record as the Pacers.
I know, but you got to look at the Pacers from basically... the all-star break on. Right. It has been different. And I mean,
they would be one of the great upsets of all time. I think you guys are viewing the Pacers a little differently than reality.
No. I said it would be one of the great upsets of all time. The betting market would tell you that the odds were super steep for Indiana to close the gap a little bit after they won game one. But the bottom of each conference stinks.
Not the bottom of the West. I mean, the bottom.
Utah
stinks. Then again, the bottom of the playoff field is good. Like, KD didn't even make the playoffs. There's a lot
team
of stars.
Is terrible.
They're not good. Those are bad teams.
Not good teams.
They basically would have probably been a player in the East. Just telling you, the East stinks.
Can I bring up another point, though? And maybe this is where the disconnect is. I feel like with OKC, even though they've got Shea and he's the MVP and he's on this all-time season, it's been more about teams as opposed to players. And we're going to see that this offseason. We're going to see how this manifests, because our team's going to move heaven and earth for Kevin Durant? Doubt it. Maybe Giannis, still in his prime. But the idea of the super team, because of a lot of factors, could be going away. So you're saying, give me star power. That might not be the model for the NBA going forward. It's more about complete teams as opposed to give me your big three, because your big three is going to be super expensive, and it's going to be really punitive now with all these new rules that I won't bore everybody with.
Yeah, I think you guys are downgrading the West. I think the Clippers would have been a really good competitive team. I mean, they took the Nuggets to seven games. That's a great Nuggets team who was still healthy at the time. I just think there's a Lakers who were good at times, the Warriors, if they stayed healthy.
The Nuggets fired their coach. I was going to say, they're a great team.
I don't think they were great Nuggets.
They have Jokic.
Well, yeah, they have a great player.
You said great team.
You don't think the Nuggets could have gotten out of the East?
You said they were a great team.
Could the Nuggets have gotten out of the East?
They didn't get out of the West. It doesn't matter. What do you mean?
We're talking about which conference is better. What do you mean? What do you mean? No, that's an obvious analogy right there.
No, you're making hypotheticals up that really are kind of like irrelevant. Like, they lost in the semifinal. Like, they had a shot to beat the Thunder. They lost. Okay, fine. But I don't know what we're doing here.
I say the West is way better than the East, and a team like the Nuggets would have gotten out of the East.
Okay, so it's funny because I think it's a little revisionist now, and you can call us at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But I think Prof is trying to say Oklahoma City now has had the harder path right? You're trying to say?
Trying to say. There's no trying to say. Any sports fan understands that analogy to say that the Nuggets would have gotten out of the East.
Okay, but here's...
That's obvious.
I get you. But I'm just going back to when that was, that seventh game in OKC. Denver was terrible in the second half of the of Game 7, and OKC marches on. Did anyone say we just watched the de facto Western Conference final? Did anyone say we just watched that should have been the finals?
Yes.
Nobody said that.
Really?
We were not saying that.
I assumed everyone thought it was over after they got through.
No, because Aaron Gordon got hurt. This Denver team felt like it was discombobulated from when EJ mentioned they fired Michael Malone. It was
That you hated Russell Westbrook. I don't know I don't know when the Thunder. I don't know when the Nuggets became the dream team. I'm sorry.
But when the Thunder beat the Nuggets, everyone said the NBA playoffs are over. Right? I mean,
Nobody said that.
No,
I don't think that.
People didn't believe much in Minnesota. I'll give you that. But that was Boston was still a thing then. Cleveland, had been eliminated at that point. These teams.
But generally, Cleveland, I mean.
They won 64 games. I mean, like, what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like, yes, you want to talk about the bottom of the East?
You guys, the way you argue, like, I think I'm in the strong majority of this. I think the West is way better than the East. Like, not just the majority, like the strong majority.
Okay, well, I guess then I'll ask you this. You think then the series is over?
Will
Indiana win another game? Because if you think they're so far and away better.
I think they will win the series.
But if the East is so bad, why don't they gentlemen sweep them? Like you said, they would.
They might. I just haven't really. So you guys should bet your whole life saving on the Pacers if you think the East is this giant beast out there.
No, but it was before this started. I believe what you said was this is going to feel like when the Lakers played the Nets.
Right. Or the Lakers. Did they play the Pacers once too? Yeah, it feels very much like that to me.
But does it feel like that now that you've seen two games?
Yeah.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, because I don't think the OKC has been dominant by any stretch. No way. They haven't played great.
I mean, they've been leading for, how many minutes our game? For 96 minutes out of 95 minutes. Yeah, they've been were they trailing at all last time? Maybe they were.
No, the first time they took the lead in game one was with the 0.3 seconds.
Right. Did the Pacers get a little bit of a lead early?
Maybe in the first quarter, but after that it was all Thunder.
Yeah, I mean...
You don't think this series looks different in Indiana? You know it will.
It does, but you guys, I mean, I think you're underrating the West in a serious way. Like, the amount of stars in the West and the amount of players.
I think that's the thing maybe where me and Maggie differ. You're naming stars. Yeah. I'm talking about teams. Like, yes, the West has names, but a lot of those names didn't do much. Like, I don't know how you look at those teams. Like,
yeah, Anthony Edwards was not great in the Western Conference Finals.
Was getting beat by 40 in the playoffs. By the way, that was not a good team.
And they fired their coach right before the playoffs.
Right, they also fired their coach. Like, who are these great teams that we're missing?
Well, Curry got hurt.
Right, but that's basketball. Like, the Warriors built an old, broken-down team. Like, I hate the whole, like, well, if they would have stayed healthy, would have won. Well, like, if Steph Curry was 4 or 5 years younger and Jimmy Butler was 4 or 5 years younger, yeah, they probably would be a dynasty. They chose that roster. Like, it's not like, oh, they chose, like, oh, they got the guy who's in his prime and he got hurt in his prime. Like, they chose that roster. They took that risk. Like, I don't think it's fair. I mean, the Rockets were the number two seed. The Rockets are a great team. You kept saying that they were going to lose. So when the West all of a sudden become a bunch of teams, like it's like 2001 again.
But a lot of these teams would have had, like, they would have gotten a team they could destroy in the first round, like the Knicks, and been like rested. Like, the Warriors probably would have swept the Knicks and had able to rest Curry a little bit.
Pacers' biggest lead was 3 points yesterday late in the first quarter.
Yeah, I just think the West is different. And it's going to be worse next year.
You think the Rockets would have come out of these?
Oh, easily.
Okay.
By the way, the Rockets would have been a factor in the East too.
Balance
number two seed in the West? They got knocked out in the first round.
I've seen Fred VanVleet run through that conference in the postseason way too many times to take him lightly.
Yeah, had a healthy Kawhi next to him.
But you guys laugh like they're better record than the Knicks and the Pacers. I just think there's a big imbalance right now, and honestly, everybody's saying that. You guys are acting like. People don't think the West is way better than the East.
I think that you're also just discounting the fact that the reigning champs got hurt, and they are a good team. I don't know what's going to happen next. Obviously, next year and the crossroads that the Celtics are on is totally different. Maybe I was the fool. I did think the Cavs were a good team. I didn't think that was wrong.
They got injured, to be fair. Like, we keep talking about the Cavs.
Milwaukee got injured.
They lost two All-Stars.
Oh, Milwaukee. Come on.
Listen, Giannis is going to be the prize of the offseason if he actually gets moved. And, you know, listen, like EJ said, you make your team, but the Dame Lillard acquisition looked like a panic move in the moment.
Snitches get stitches.
He hasn't been healthy at all.
Who's their coach? Get out of here with Milwaukee.
888-710-4ISN. So what are you saying here? This is a...
I think to the point where it's a problem for the NBA. The West is so much better than the East. There's so many. Next year, it's going to be night and day. It's like a varsity and JV.
It's over, ladies!
Because Boston's going away for a little while.
Yeah,
because
Tatum's not
really going to be a thing next year.
I mean, you know, you're talking about stars in the West versus stars in the East. You know, stars on your team didn't come through. You know, there were a couple stars sitting in Philadelphia that did absolutely jack squat. So there is star power in the Eastern Conference as well.
I'm an idiot.
I also feel like it's very convenient because the Thunder are so good to say the West is so great. I think the Thunder are one team, and then there's everybody else.
The fact that the Warriors were in the play-in tournament speaks to me. I mean, they had a lot of 50-win teams in the West.
No, they had a terrible first half, and then they made a trade that changed their whole team. That was not a good team. Nobody came into the season saying the Warriors are some championship contender. They traded for Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler decided he was going to get himself out of Miami. They were in the play-in because of how they built their team coming into the season.
But you don't think they would do well in the East?
But they still would have. I don't know if they would have been in the play-in, but they still would not have been a high seed, my point is. That was not a deep team. They had
the same amount of wins, basically, as the Pacers.
Right, after they traded for Jimmy Butler is my point. Before that, they were not good. They
weren't 500. Yeah.
That was a bad team.
Freaking bum.
And I love Steph Curry. I would gladly...
You realize you are siding with a Knicks fan in the East versus West argument.
No, I'm with myself. I mean, EJ and I are more aligned on this because I think that I watch Minnesota, and I was... not impressed. And I saw Minnesota in the Western Conference Finals. I was like, oh, you're telling me that the Knicks wouldn't have played them tough? You're telling me that...
Minnesota is a big, long team. And I just think that the Knicks are okay.
But here's the thing. Minnesota wasn't even close against OKC. I'm telling you and sitting here this morning that I think that Indiana is actually not that far off. I realize they lost by a lot last night. But... I don't think they're as far off as Minnesota was not in the same planet, I feel like, as OKC.
No, and for sure.
I think that's most of the West besides Denver. Like, I think that's what would have happened to pretty much every team that they would have played.
I think the question, are you putting some kind of asterisk or something on this OKC? Because, Perloff, you seem to think that OKC is playing against the JV.
Yeah,
does this still feel like the varsity versus the JV? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I don't see it that way. It doesn't seem like the Western Conference is varsity and the Eastern Conference is JV to me.
Could LeBron and the Lakers have gotten out of the East? I think is an interesting hypothetical.
Listen.
Is Luka going to get hurt again? Like, I mean, again, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're putting names on paper and saying, well, what happened? This happened. Is like Luka going to pull his calf in the middle of a playoff series? And then no.
I just think Luka probably could have manned up and gotten to the second round and whatever.
888-710-4ISN. Are we talking about finish the plate, Luka? Are we talking about...
Could Kawhi have swept the Knicks? I think that's a good hypothetical. Kawhi looked good this playoff. You said nothing about the Clippers. The Clippers are a good team.
No, I said they're not as good as the Thunder.
You don't think the Clippers could have made the Eastern Conference Finals, Maggie? I saw that smirk.
No, the smirk is this. You're like, the Clippers are a great team. The Clippers are a disappointing team. And there's no other way to slice it. They might be good, but if you're saying they've got all this star power and X, Y, and Z and Ty Lue, one of the highest paid coaches in the league, well, where is it?
Stick them in the East and they'll be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I watched James Harden in the East. Yeah. He couldn't get out of the second round.
He played for your team.
He was playing alongside the MVP of the league that year.
They have Kawhi Leonard. What's the last thing he did when he was in the East?
That was 10 years ago.
When was the last time he played beyond the second round of the playoffs without getting hurt? You think he would have stayed healthy the whole playoffs?
At least could have stayed healthy in the conference finals. And he looked great this postseason. He looked like a slightly older Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is it still the varsity versus the JV, East versus West? Lots to do today. We have tons of football for you, both the NFL and college. I've got a warning for everybody. I don't know. We don't want to play like buzzers and sirens and stuff. It's too early for that kind of thing, and it's annoying.
I also don't think you can play sirens on the radio, but I digress.
Fair. Manny turning into a safety net on this show. Never thought that'd be.
Who would have thought
I'd see the day.
Love you, FCC.
Manny's like, I don't think that's a good idea. Look at you being a producer. I do have a warning, though. It's a big one, and it's coming for your team. 888-710-4ISN.
I'm tired of being a loser.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff. That was a heated argument in the first segment about which is better, the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference.
That escalated quickly.
The numbers are crazy. Since 2003, the West has won at a pace of 56% to 44%. They have, this is amazing, 315 All-NBA odds compared to 204. And they got Cooper Flagg coming next year and Giannis coming next year. So,
well, we don't know about Giannis.
Don't know about Giannis.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
But they have Wembanyama on his way up. It is... I think that Adam Silver said he likes parity, but the West, if you thought the West was better this year and record-wise they were much better this year, it should be decidedly better next year. Lakers retool a little bit. Golden State retools a little bit. There's going to be a migration to the West of old stars because there are a lot of teams who desperately need to win one more title. So we'll see. 50-win Pacers, maybe they make this a series and prove me wrong, but it does feel to me like the West is... The West is the ascending conference. You got Houston and San Antonio. You got Dallas now with Cooper Flagg. You obviously have the teams that are still around, like the Lakers, Warriors, and then this possible dynasty in the Thunder. Let's not discount them.
Yeah, I think that it's hard to say. It's hard right now for the East to put up. If you're talking about the future, I mean, Boston just took a significant hit, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, with Tatum going down, Brown is now in every trade, you know, rumor possible.
And
new
Horford
ownership.
And Holiday are have to retire at some point.
I mean, listen, in a rosy glow, maybe you feel like the Knicks made the right decision to fire Tom Thibodeau. Maybe they upgrade there. Cleveland's not going anywhere. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's getting traded.
Ooh.
Detroit's on the way up. So
Cleveland's like, I think Cleveland could make a move. I think they could lose Mitchell or Mobley.
And by the way, if you want to like read the rumor mill, which is this is some, it's not deep online, but it's deep with the NBA insiders, that apparently Toronto is locked, loaded, ready to make some kind of crazy deal too. So maybe we get something north of the border. And then your 76ers, if they can, you know, crawl out of the mess that they've made for themselves. I do want to quickly say that I there's a warning out there that I'm firing, and I want to get to it just quickly, even though it's a really bigger, it's a much bigger story. But I'm curious if college football and basketball fans are getting a little nervous if you're paying attention to the news with this new settlement that happened between the NCAA and the power conferences.
Nervous about what?
Nervous about the future here and what's going to happen with teams. First of all, the haves and the have-nots getting a chasm, basically, that's going to be growing between teams that have any kind of money and programs, that have any kind of money and those that don't. And the idea that, you know, NIL and all these things were going to create more parity now looks like it could create less, because you're going to have athletic departments now coming up with the majority of the money. Any kind of name, image, and likeness deal has to be subject to approval of a new committee that's just been formed that's going to take effect on July 1st. And basically, you're going to try, college football, college basketball, major college sports is going to try to get a lot more guardrails going on. It's probably going to lead to more lawsuits. It's probably going to lead to more confusion. But if you're somebody who gives to your university, they're going to come back around with their hands out probably double. And two, if you're somebody that's rooting for like a group of five or a lower tier, I went to George Washington. Bo's got his
well,
Fordham
George
shirt
Washington.
On.
They don't even have a football team.
I understand, but it's gonna be harder for
George Washington to compete in football. It's gonna be really hard.
Undefeated.
Step one, get a football team. Step two,
they're gonna play.
Step two, get helmets.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
Step three, find a field.
Find Coach Saban to come in and lead the whole thing.
I got a GM for them if they need.
Step two, get helmets. That would be a huge... Step six, mouth guards.
Do you realize the last time they played football, the helmets were leather? So, not just talking about my alma mater. I'm just saying, it's weird times right now in college sports. It's about to get weirder.
There's just absolutely no way that you can't have more parity than 15 years ago when Alabama made like 9 straight college football playoffs. It used to be the payrolls were much, much more weighted towards the SEC.
And black bags.
The black market pay.
I mean,
I think that's why for basically 20 years, we got the same 4 teams in the college football playoff. Obviously, parity struck recently. So Alabama fell off their pedestal. I think there's a lot to be determined, but there's going to be more revenue sharing. I would worry about parity. I understand the smaller schools are worried because of lower budgets, but in theory, this should even out. I still think it evened out the playing field. So a lesser Big Ten team or a lesser SEC team can poach some of the backups on Alabama and Georgia.
So one other part of this that I think for fans, if you don't care about the dollar amounts and the X's and O's, but one other thing for fans that I'm really curious how this is going to work. Is let's say now any name, image, and likeness, you want to do a deal with Nike or Gatorade or Bob's car dealership or whatever, it's got to be subject to approval. Well, what happens with the NCAA, who's ultimately running this committee? There's some lag time, and anything over $600 has to be reported. So I'm old enough to remember, and I was literally in their building when this happened, days before the SEC championship game when we weren't sure if Cam Newton was going to be eligible to play because his dad had allegedly taken some money to help with their church or whatever. And it came down to the wire.
Wait, Cecil Newton was helping with a church?
That's what they said. Laugh that heartily.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Anyway, that was not the point of this. I don't know how they spent the money. The point was that the money got offered or handed over or whatever.
Come on, man.
And it came down to the wire whether Cam was going to play in that SEC championship game.
Right.
Spoiler, he did. They end up going on to win the national title. He's the number one pick in the draft. But is this going to happen again where this committee now is going to be deciding whether or not quarterback from X school before the college football playoff actually took $1,000 from some burger joint in some college town somewhere and it never got approved or what have you, and they're going to sit before a huge game?
It's a great question. I'm not sure. I mean, because obviously the Congress doesn't like the NCAA. So here's the question. You leave a quarterback out of the bowl game or a college football playoff game. Isn't somebody going to sue you for antitrust immediately?
There's a lot here. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines for us. It was a busy weekend.
Guys, good morning. All these headlines are sponsored, as usual, by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
Arch is coming out.
Part of the Thunder's problem in Game 1 of the Finals was limited production after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That was not an issue in Game 2 last night.
Right wing dub, cross court left to Wiggins. Sets himself for another angle left three-pointer. Gets that! Ben Ruffin getting wiggy with it, baby, in Game 2. He has 17 points, including 5 3-pointers.
Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio. Aaron Wiggins scored 18. Alex Caruso had 20 off the OKC bench. Within the starting five, Jalen Williams scored 19. Chet Holmgren had 15 points and 6 boards, all in the Thunder to a 123-107 series tying decision over those Pacers. SGA on the better O.
We were a little bit sticky last game, but you have games like that. It sucks to be on this stage and have games like that, but it is what it is. It's where we are, right? It's where our feet are, and all you can do is just try to be better for the next one.
And the ball.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Definitely less sticky yesterday with 40 assists as a team, and the MVP scored 34, giving him 72 points in this series, the most anyone has scored over their first two career finals games. The Thunder, P.S., still haven't lost back-to-back meaningful games since November. Now, Game 3 is in Indiana on Wednesday night. The Pacers will be looking for more from their MVPs. Tyrese Haliburton had just 5 points through three quarters last night, finishing on 17. Pascal Siakam missed 8 of 11 shots, scoring just 15 total.
Did you guys see the thing about, sorry to interrupt, about Shai passing 3,000 points for the season?
The season, yeah.
The season, the regular season plus the playoffs. So he joined some crazy company here. It's like Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Bob McAdoo, Elgin Baylor, Harden, Kareem, Kevin Durant, Kobe, Luka, Shaq, no LeBron. I was shocked by that.
Wait, explain this stat. So
3,000 points with a regular season and a postseason, and you got every name, every great name under the sun here.
No bad names. No random guys.
Rick Barry, I think. But Rick Barry wasn't
bad. Rick Barry, yeah.
He was awesome. So,
he was awesome. Two finals, right?
I mean, does our intern know who Rick Barry was? Like, you asked me random.
You have to get to the finals. You have to be alive, so... Early LeBron, when he scored a lot, probably didn't have enough playoff life. Is that what happened?
10 finals trips? I mean, LeBron never got 3,000 points in a season. I read 3 different articles about this and never saw LeBron on it.
Okay.
LeBron, and it's funny because ironic that he's the scoring champ.
So Shai Gilgeous is 32.7 at this point. Is that the highest total for any MVP to win? I saw some stat. It'd be like a record total. LeBron's averaged 30 twice in his career. And he didn't go far one of the years. But one of them was 2000. He averaged 30 in 2021. Did anyone know that?
Year after the bubble title?
Is that crazy or what? But he only played 56 games. So he's not a scorer. He's a passer. Remember the early commercials on Nike? He doesn't want to shoot, Maggie. Your guy. He wants to pass the ball.
I know. Yet somehow pass Kareem for most points ever in the history of the league.
You're saying compiler?
Hang on. Sunday Night Baseball in the Bronx. The Red Sox slugging their way to a series win over the Yankees.
Rodon at the belt. He throws. Narvaez swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. It is back. It is gone.
Snorty hard hard.
Carlos Narvaez. 3-run bomb.
A go-ahead 3-run bomb and a 5-run 6th. Boston taking the rubber game of this series. 11-7. Going deep 5 times total. Paul Skeens did it again yesterday. 7 2/3. 1 earned run and 7 Ks. Lowering his ERA to 1.88, but again, no W for him, but at least the team got 1-2-1 over the Phillies.
I think we've been playing pretty good ball for a little bit now, and either, you know, haven't come out with them or, you know, lost by a run or something like that in a few games. So I've been happy with the baseball we've been playing. It's nice to, you know, finally get some wins out of it too.
That guy's begging for help in that clip.
He's begging for personality in that clip.
Oh, come on.
Works with Livy, man.
Manny, you hear a hostage kind of situation here?
Yeah, indubitably.
The Pirates have won 3 in a row, while those Phillies have dropped their last 5, 9 of their last 10.
Oops. Quick baseball question. How on earth do you get swept by the Pirates? What is going on?
Look inward.
Bryce Harper back on the IL again?
Yes. I hate baseball again. When the Phillies are good, I love it. Yeah, you guys like that where your whole baseball happiness depends on your team? Of course.
Yankees are consistently in the playoffs, I mean.
I mean, Manny's always in a bad mood?
That's true, and my team is consistently in the playoffs, so.
I saw a
that's
stat.
A you problem there, Manny.
Oh, is it?
I saw a stat from our friend Andrew Filippone who said, Paul Skenes has a 1.93 ERA through his first 37 starts. That is the best start to a career by a pitcher in over 100 years.
Okay, so you're not in the Raspberries.
I mean,
show me the wins, EJ.
Wins don't is have how you them. Really judge a starting pitcher now. That's insane. 100 years?
I 1.93
ERA, 37 starts.
You guys are trying to downgrade his personality. Like, that matters. Wow.
It should matter a little
bit. I mean,
bit.
It doesn't.
To be fair, you really, if you could put a two-burger on the scoreboard, you've beat the Pirates, so you don't have to be super aggressive offensively.
Two-burger? I haven't heard that in years.
Yeah. I do think the Pirates play into that a little bit. I'm sorry that I'm being a hater there. But honestly, if you're not going to be wildly aggressive if you need three runs to blow out the
Wow, Pirates. That's the take on Paul Skenes?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see when he comes to the Yankees, how long that elbow lasts.
Oh, boy.
Why are you like this?
This is just what's going on with you today?
Oh, wait, you guys think that like Paul Skenes isn't going to come to New York and be a disappointment? Are you crazy?
Why would it be a disappointment?
Because it's New York.
But he still has to face, like, he's facing major league hitting.
Do you guys know how baseball pitching works?
No, but the ERA is the ERA. Like, you don't think he'll be able to handle New York?
Boom, boom, boom,
or
boom.
L.A. or something? It's like, no, he's a star.
He's definitely going to be a Dodger, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Going. Yeah, same thing will happen.
Yeah, he's going to be a Dodger.
I like my theory. There's less pressure to score against the Pirates who play less aggressively on offense.
I don't think baseball works like that.
Oh, it totally does. It's a much more complicated game.
So I think they're not trying hard enough?
Like, the opponents aren't trying?
Basically, they're up like 2-0. Let's sit our best players. No,
like
but
in the most individual sport possible, you think guys aren't trying?
I do think these numbers will translate differently in different situations. I feel like he's in Pittsburgh. There's no pressure at all. He's killing it.
He's not Jacob DeGrom.
That part, I agree a little more.
He's great. He's an all-time pitcher. There's no doubt about it. But I do think that it's easy. It's not easy. It's a little easier to do this in Pittsburgh.
I do think playing for bad teams does make it less pressure for starters like Skenes. That I agree with.
Well, because you're not playing meaningful games into the fall. But I would say maybe it's the opposite. You feel like the whole team like is riding on you. Like you're the one thing.
Yeah, but I think there's a different pressure to pitching in games that you know matter. And no game Paul Skenes pitches and matters. That part I think is fair.
I get that. But also think about it. In theory, he'd be going to a better full team. So you actually have like a little bit, I'm going to say safety net, but you actually have some more backup, right? Like someone can actually put runs on the board for you. If you're playing with Aaron Judge, you know, not terrible. Thank you, folks. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. What is the definition of a sore loser? I think we found it. M&P.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. So glad to have you this morning. Hope you're doing great. Pearl, I know you have daughters who are participating in sports. At least one of them is.
Vaguely, yeah. Participating is a strong word, but participating, not excelling.
I said just they're there. And, you know, even though you're from Philadelphia, I imagine you are trying to teach them good sportsmanship.
Yeah, right. No, we're from Philadelphia. It's actually not a priority for my daughters because they're good at sportsmanship. It's the actual...
Oh, sports.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then better than Aryna Sabalenka. So, obviously, this is tough. You lose the women's final of the French Open, and Sabalenka lost to Coco Gauff. So, go USA. American tennis on the women's side is phenomenal. But she says that this wasn't about Coco Gauff and how well Coco played. Sabalenka just blew it.
It's more windy and got more windy, and also I think I was over emotional, and I think today I didn't really handle myself quite well mentally, I would say. So basically that's it. I was just making up for errors. Like, I don't know, I have to check the statistics. I think she won the match not because she played incredible, just because I made all of those mistakes.
That's funny.
Tough. More from Sabalenka. She said this finals performance was her worst in months.
It was really, honestly, the worst tennis I played in the last months, and the conditions were terrible, and she simply was better in these conditions than me.
Wah, wah, wah. Well, kind of, you know? I mean, that's the thing about tennis, and anyone who's played it at any level knows that unless you're playing inside in some kind of air-conditioned bubble, Pearl, the conditions are part of it, you know?
But can I ask a question, though? Are we giving her a little bit of a break because I'm not sure English is her first language and she's trying to put this together? Like, I couldn't do that in my second language.
So that's fair, yeah. Right? You want to have a little grace for people who are not speaking their first language. Also, maybe some grace for people who are still in the heat of it. This is right after the match, right? So she just sort of told you exactly how she felt. At the same time, I do think that when you're a professional, you know what the deal is, right? You understand. You've been here a million times. This is what separates the pros from the amateurs. This is why I wouldn't, you know, necessarily knock a college kid, even though maybe they're not amateurs anymore. But you don't apply the same level of criticism to a college kid or a high school kid as opposed to a professional. Losing with class should be part of it. And this was not classy at all. Now, she's trying to walk some of this back, and she was just mad at herself, and I understand it, but I'm curious out there at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is this the definition of being a bad loser? And do you have a problem with it with professional athletes, or do you say, I don't care? EJ, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously bad sportsmanship. I do feel like, you know, it does bow that question that people ask is, are these things necessary? Like, do you need to hear from the person that just lost and is probably heartbroken and is probably going to say, you know, if they're not really guarding their words, maybe things that, you know, are a little unsavory. You know, that's what I think a lot of athletes would say, that this is kind of a pointless exercise.
Right.
I disagree. I'm a member of the media. I think these are very important. I think they add context to these games and matches. And I think that a lot of times there's questions the fans want to hear. But the reality is, if you or in any locker room, like, you know, whether you played youth basketball, youth tennis, whatever, like, the stuff you hear in a locker room after a loss or whatever is nothing that you hear in a press conference. So this is a little bit more reality probably than what we would normally hear. So I think there's a little bit of like, oh my God, how could she say that? It's like, well, this is how a lot of athletes feel.
Yeah, I like it too because you often get this from somebody who's English second language. You get crazy honesty.
Although so Serena used to be pretty honest like this. She had moments where she'd Serena, be like, they weren't great. I just was terrible today. Yeah, and she got criticized for
it. She killed Naomi Osaka, right?
I remember I think she did this once with Sharapova, but I'd have to go back and look. There's so many press conferences. It's just funny to me because it stood in such stark contrast to Jannik Sinner, who was standing out, I mean, an all-time collapse.
What a match.
What a match that was. We'll get more into it. Yeah. Three championship points, okay, on his racket, and he could not, or three championship points that he had to, that he had, that he couldn't capitalize on, Pearl, and ends up being, he was up two sets to none, he collapses, he loses in a fifth set tiebreaker and got destroyed, okay? He's standing out there saying, congratulations to my opponent. That takes a lot of composure and a lot of understanding the moment and not wanting to take away from someone else. You're right. Serena did get criticized for the Naomi Osaka kind of taking from her moment.
I remember she apologized. Yeah. But that's funny about Sinner, though. How did he actually speak when after that? I've never seen a choke that big in my entire life.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding me, dude? I saw it in real time. I'm like, you can't hit your first serve. You're panicking now.
He choked like the Knicks did in game one.
Oh, my God. They're putting the camera on his mom. She's melting. She had to get up.
It's just a first serve. Just get it in.
Just get an ace, buddy. Come on.
Says Perloff from the couch, thousands and thousands of miles away. Okay, coming up, are the playoffs a lock for Aaron Rodgers?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.